Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C.
This hour is presented by Key Marine, who's responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
I ain't got a high-powered motor. I don't own a wakeboard. I got a 1970 Morton guitar and an outdoor carpet dance floor. I got burgers on the grill and beer on ice, and I'll probably be seeing you soon. I ain't making no waves, ain't starting no fights, just cruising in my pontoon. All I need is me and my
good morning. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. Happy Friday and welcome to Boat Smart. This morning I am joined by Mr. Jeff Crane, who is a district service manager with Yamaha Motors. And Jeff, welcome. Thank you so much for hosting this episode of Boat Smart this morning.
Ruthie, thank you. I'm honored to be here and honored to fill in for the royalty of Stefan Schmidt, who normally covers and hosts this show for you.
And he really is just so incredible with answering questions and right off the cuff, knowing things, you know, that people just maybe don't know about their boat. And so by listening to this show, you do end up with some boat smarts. And I'm happy for Stefan that he's taking a little time off and enjoying himself for the weekend.
Me too.
And so, Jeff, I want to make sure that you know, our listeners this morning know a little bit about your background. We were chatting during the break that you have helped host Boat Smart in the past and co-host as well. Will you share a little bit about your expertise and your role with Yamaha Motors?
Sure. I've been in the boat business pretty much all my working life. You know, over 30 years in the boat business. I've worked for dealerships, owned my own mobile marine business, just done a variety of different things from as a technician, as running a service shop, dealing with customers, working with Yamaha. And in my role with Yamaha, which I've worked for almost 15 years with Yamaha, is as a district service manager, I basically am dealer support, customer support on the technical side, help the dealers, you know, actually troubleshoot, train technicians out in the field, meet up with customers on, you know, on specific situations that require my presence. But I cover the Florida Panhandle to just around the bend and the whole state of Alabama and a little bit on the fringes, and been doing something with boats all my life. Absolutely.
So this sounds like a very passion-driven career that you have built here. Do you just love boats?
That and all the above, absolutely. Because I've tried to get in and out of the boat business a couple of different times, and I keep coming back to it, you know, over the years. And it's and our area here is just wonderful for it. The boating community is amazing. You just, the amount of boats you see on the water, it's a boating lifestyle in our area. Absolutely.
That is definitely true. And I'm curious, in the region that you cover, that's quite a large territory. Do you see that there's more like activity down this way or up, you know, when you get north in Alabama? I know there's some beautiful lakes up there. Would you say that there's just as much love and passion in the community going on up that way?
I think it's more of an American passion just in general for our boating lifestyle, and in the sense of up in Alabama, the lakes, the river systems, there's a series of dams and locks that kind of comes down through some of those chains. And it's not just, you know, we've got different boats down here on the coast, everything from the larger offshore boats to the bay boats, the flat boats, the pontoon boats, the runabouts, pleasure boats, overnight stay boats. And then as we move up into Alabama, see more what I call aluminum river boats, high performance bass boats, ski boats, you name it. And typically I've assisted in all those different types of boats and the types of boating. So it's not just on the coast, even though there may be larger horsepower and larger boats more down on the coast. And, of course, with that comes all the new technology that's not just in control systems, but all your gauges and your displays and your accessories on the boat. It's gone from just the old school throttle and shift cable all the way up to a fully networked, connected boat that you can monitor remotely and everything. So.
And I imagine that over the years of your career, you have seen the technology, like you're mentioning, associated with boats. Has it just gone through the roof?
It has, and I would say each year it's almost like going technology shopping. You're worried sometimes about, well, should I buy this now, or is this going to be outdated in a year or two? The good thing about that is most of the components will still connect with each other and still integrate. There are a few exceptions to that, but yes, technology just in the last. Now, marine industry is a little bit behind in technology as opposed to some of the automotive technology, but it's following, it's catching up. Absolutely.
That is exciting. And I want to encourage our listeners to take advantage of your expertise, Jeff. So if you have a question or, you've had a consideration about your boat, or you're thinking about getting a boat, upgrading a boat, please give us a call or a text. We have time on the program. The number is 437-1620. And I imagine, Jeff, that you have seen and heard all kinds of different stories and needs for assistance over the years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I'll try to answer what questions you have. And our sponsors, actually Key Marine of Northwest Florida, they're located at 5621 Bower Road in Pensacola. Their phone number is 850-492-0487. And they are your Yamaha and Mercury Repower Center. And they do have some special pricing on all Yamaha and Mercury motors. They specialize in service and repair on all Mercruiser, Mercury, and Yamaha product, and probably even some other stuff that might even be made by some other people. But they'll let you know for sure if they can or can't. They have trained technicians, and they do provide just superior level, top-notch service and repair. You can check them out on Facebook. Their lobby is closed, but they're assisting customers curbside. So, and as a result, glad to answer any of your questions today. Sometimes it's going to just require the expertise of a dealer looking at it in person, and Key Marine is definitely a good, it's the place to go there. Glad they're supporting the show here too.
Yes, we so appreciate them. And I know Stefan is so great about giving out. Sometimes he'll do trivia and give out a chamois and a Key Marine t-shirt. And I love when people get to win those. I'm like, maybe one day I'll know the answer to these questions. I'll get to win if I keep listening to Boat Smart. So please give us a call and we can see if Jeff knows the answer to your question. Otherwise, we'll get you connected with our friends over at Key Marine. Again, 437-1620 is our number here if you want to call or text in your question. And so we were talking a little bit, Jeff, during the break about kind of some considerations for boat owners if you made it through the storm season and everything is like relatively normal again. Are there any considerations for people in this area when it comes to the seasons changing and getting ready to winterize their boats?
Well, in winterizing the boat, it's definitely a necessity further up north or where it's going to regularly freeze. Here in Northwest Florida and South Alabama, we enjoy the warmer climates, but we do get to see all four seasons here. And historically, it will freeze once, twice, three times. Some winters we may not see a real hard freeze, but sometimes we do. The good thing about outboard motors as opposed to inboards or stern drives, most of the outboards, as long as they're tilted in the down position, they naturally drain out. And from a freezing standpoint, the water's not going to freeze inside the engine. On a stern drive or inboard, diesel, anything like that, some of the engines have what we call closed cooling. So you have a heat exchanger type situation where seawater or outside water cools off antifreeze mixture. So the antifreeze mixture that's in the engine is fine. But the part of the heat exchanger or the part where your fresh water or seawater comes in to to cool that, that will either need to be treated or drained. Also, boats with water systems, even they have to have a specific type of antifreeze on them as well. The other thing about outboards and inboards and everything else is it's this time of year is a good time to do your services. For one, you've had oil that's been in the engine, in the gear lube. It gets acidic with the combustion process that goes on. So it's best to get that oil out of there and fresh oil in. It's a good chance to see that you've any seals or any maintenance that needs to be done, greasing everything. So that way it's ready for the season next year. And also some of the shops will slow down a little bit. I think this year with the hurricane damage and everything else, everybody has been running at a 120-150% of their normal capacity. It's just been crazy, everybody wanting to use their boat. And the service industry has definitely had to deal with that as well. But there is some things. I know Key Marine is running some specials right now. They have currently right now from November 6th of this month through January 31st, they have a promotion of 25% off of labor for whatever you need, whether it's annual maintenance, repowering, even restoration. And if you take advantage of that during this time, they will also, running into next year, they will also give you a 10% labor discount future through the next year or until the next promotion goes on. So wintertime is a good time to at least get your engines and boat serviced and ready and get it ready for the next season as well.
So I'll tell you, Jeff, that most of my experience with boats happens on a lake up in Canada. So the winterizing there is very, very different, where we have to like lift the boats out of the water. Obviously, the lake freezes, all that kind of good stuff.
Sure.
So I'm just curious here, is pulling your boat out of the water even necessary? Obviously, it doesn't freeze like it does there, but are there pros and cons, or depends on the boat if you want to pull it out totally?
It depends on the boat. Some people, you know, if they're keeping it on a lift versus keeping it in the water, especially our salt water along the coast, you know, salt water, the freezing level on that's going to be lower. And with the engine down in the water, it's not going to, you know, cause any damage in our area along the coast here. But the other thing is mainly just keeping your outboard tilted or trimmed down so the water can naturally drain out. I mean, you can flush it with it in the water. If you tilt the motor upward and you typically want it out of the water, typically your lower unit will hold water. And if it's going to be a hard freeze, then it could crack the lower unit. And that would be a very expensive repair. So, and also if the engine's tilted up as far as an outboard, then there's some pockets in the block that may not drain properly, and it could crack the head, crack a spot in the block. Typically only if it's really a really hard freeze. We don't deal with the harsh, harsh winter environment like what you're talking about in Canada. Absolutely. But it depends on the boat.
And that is why I love living here, I have to say, because we don't have to deal with those things. So it sounds like you were saying the word crack, which is just not really a word you want to hear on a boat. So I imagine you've seen that before, where if that water doesn't get drained out properly and then it does freeze, that it can cause some pretty significant issues. That's just expensive to get repaired.
Yes, it basically could be. Whether it's an outboard or a stern drive or inboard engine, it could be that it's even to the point of complete engine replacement, because once the block is cracked, usually you end up with water getting into your oil. Then that corrodes everything in the engine, and it's typically unrepairable.
Oh, no.
At that point. So, yes, very expensive if you don't take the precautions.
So we don't want definitely don't want that to happen. Are there other common like seasonal change type issues that you have seen where, you know, like, okay, we didn't take care of this at the end of the season last year, so now when spring rolls around or summer comes, there's some residual effects?
Yes, and, you know, even though we've mainly just been talking about water and freezing and maintenance of that respect, but some of the most problems that all of the shops in the area and customers deal with on the regular basis is fuel quality. So letting the fuel sit in your boat for extended periods of time. On the older boats, the fuel tanks were vented to the atmosphere. It's just gases in the tank. You have a vent to the atmosphere. As you're using fuel, air goes into the tank. Typically, there's a debate of whether you should empty your fuel tank out or fill it up. From the standpoint of filling your tank, that alleviated the airspace in the tank, so you had less of a situation that could cause condensation in the tank, especially in our areas where you have warm days and cool nights. That's where you'd get condensation. So by keeping your tank fuller of fuel, or mostly full, then you alleviate that airspace, and then you would not deal with the condensation of the water getting into your gas. And especially with today's ethanol-based fuels, where it's could be as much as 10% ethanol, and all the outboard engines and stern drives are okay in running ethanol 10% fuel. But if you have the ability, like in most marinas, to use ethanol-free gas, and the ethanol-free gas is, you don't have to deal with the phase separation and situations of ethanol. With water gets into fuel and ethanol fuel, it bonds with the ethanol, and then it debonds from the fuel. So then your fuel doesn't have the ability to burn correctly. It goes stale quicker. That's where fuel conditioner and stabilizer, and more of a marine-based and not alcohol or isopropyl alcohol-based, more of a naphtha petroleum-based fuel stabilizer is most important. Our seasons is our winter season is fairly short, so it's not an issue to keep your tanks full to deal with the condensation problem. To keep the stabilizer and keep your fuel stabilized in the sense of that. I could probably do a whole show on just fuel problems in general, but needs to be marine specific stabilizer, non-alcohol based, and use it by the ratios on the bottle. And keeping it through the winter like that, you'd typically use what they call the storage ratio. So the storage ratio that's on the bottle, just go by that. It's very inexpensive. It's usually a concentrated mixture. We also have another product called Ring Free for Yamaha outboards, and that just keeps carbon built up down on the inside of the engine. That's not stabilizer. It would require both components. But fuel components and fuel problems are definitely seem to be more of the problems that most of our shops deal with.
Gotcha.
Whether it's wintertime or not.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's just all the time. These are things
all the time. Absolutely.
To be thinking about. So I'm changing gears just a little bit, because I love what you mentioned about Key Marine and how, of course, we love that they sponsor the show and they're doing this great like discount on the labor and everything. We had the chance to sit in on the advisor meeting for the Georgetown Technical College Marine Technician Program yesterday, which was so enlightening and just, I thought, really cool to get that back behind
you. Bet
the
it was good to
tour.
Good to see you there, even though I had to do it remotely, but I couldn't be there, otherwise I would have been.
Yes, well,
personally, so, but I was able to listen in.
Love that we have the remote option for that. It was just really eye-opening. I get the chance to talk to Mr. Schmidt every week, but to go see and like what these students are learning and pulling everything apart. And so I'm curious, from your perspective, how is that pipeline looking? And I'm just hearing the knowledge and the expertise that you're bringing after these years and your career in this industry. Are you encouraged? Are you seeing a huge need? Like, what are your thoughts on the future of the boating industry and the especially
all of
the
that that you just said is absolutely true. The most of all the trades, for a while we saw a little bit of a dip in the amount of people coming into the trades, and most of the people, whether it's in the technical, mechanical, welding, just technical related in general, the age group, the average age of the working people that were in these fields was gradually increasing. We weren't seeing many younger people coming in. Now And even Stefan said in the meeting yesterday, the advisory meeting, the amount of students coming in, we're seeing a lot more younger students finally. The fact that George Stone, transitioned to more of a college status, there's grants available, scholarships available, things like that as well. The dealers that were at that meeting too, some of our local dealerships that have shops, they are actively and passionately connected to George Stone's program, any of the college and technical school programs, because that is the future. It's like they're bringing them up to a point to where when they do come out of school and as they're ending their training, like with a school like George Stone, George Stone actually has an on-the-job training. It's a co-op program where they can actually work with the dealers, and they're getting actual hands-on in a dealership experience, working with a more experienced technician as a mentor, and just bringing the people up right. The men and women that and there are women in this program too. So definitely the dealerships are in contact with like Stefan and George Stone, and helping them just like Yamaha and Mercury has, in the sense of donating some engines and time and working with them. It's just a tremendous program. I mean, Yamaha's even developed an actual formal apprenticeship program that's recognized by the federal government as well. So Yamaha can help the Yamaha dealers with an apprenticeship program. And I think, I'm actually working with one of the local dealers here. Harborview Marine has an apprenticeship program with Yamaha as well. And, Key Marine has their own kind of apprenticeship system, where their experienced techs are working with their more green technicians. So even though a green technician might be working on a boat in a shop, they've got the supervisory help of the service manager and the experienced tech to make that happen. So our industry, every dealership that I talk to that I would travel and go and work with, that's one of the most common questions. Jeff, can you help me find a technician? Who do you know? I need somebody now. I need one or two people. And it's not just in the technical part. It could be rigging. It could be in parts. It could be in warranty and service advisor positions. And even in sales. I mean, there's, it's a fun industry. It's not just a job. It goes right along with the boating lifestyle. It's, I've enjoyed it. That's why I'm still in it. That's why I'm still doing something with the marine industry.
I love hearing that passion in your voice. And I will say, sitting in that meeting and getting to tour the classroom and the workshop, I guess, for lack of a better word, where they've got all these different parts and pieces into some untrained eye like mine, it really just looks like a laboratory where they're learning the ins and outs. And Stefan is so obviously committed to the success of his students by placing them in the co-op program, where they get a chance to go out into the field and start seeing themselves in these settings. And so that was my question for you in your different travels and in this, the region that you oversee, you're hearing that there is still a great need. So,
absolutely great need. They are, every dealer that I talk to, it's a regular conversation. If they're asking me about, troubleshooting a particular situation, and okay, we're done with that, and say, okay, well, good. Hope to see you soon. Send somebody our way if you, we can use somebody. We're absolutely. And what Stefan's got at the school, I mean, he has the resources. He's got the program set up on through the campus program that helps them do their classwork, do their studies, and then the hands-on part, and they all work together. And with the co-op program, he's got good equipment there. He's got more current equipment. He's got the new technology he's teaching as well. So it's not just the old two strokes and everything else. He's teaching the new technology that all the dealers are working on right now. So
And I love what he
does
mentioned.
A great job.
I agree. I love what he mentioned too about some, for some people, they're wanting to launch a career. For some, they're looking to change their career and get into something completely different from what they were doing before. And then he even will have students who are older who just want to know how to work on their own boat. So it sounds like there's a little bit of all different reasons for participating there.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And he's covering all those.